Everyone, welcome to Triple Nine. I am Anthony Mackey. This is Chewy Tail Ejiofor. All questions you have, please direct them towards us, and we will answer them promptly.
All right.
Let's do it. All right. No, just making sure what the hell you was doing. All right. Where you going? I don't know. Let her live. She just wants to hang out.
Let her live.
She just wants to hang out at press.
Okay. I'll let her live.
Let her live.
This once. You know how I get.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm hearing everything. They're good. They know what to do.
She just wants to hang out.
I just like press day.
She's like, oh my God, they're doing press on the 15th floor?
Hang out. This is a very uplifting film about police force, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Is that a correct portrayal of American? I'm Danish. Is that the correct portrayal of American?
I don't think you guys have police. Have you heard of Danish police?
Well, we do.
Do you call them cream cheese? Cream cheese Danish?
I didn't get it.
Oh.
When I did, it wasn't even like. Got it. yeah. No, of course, it's not a portrayal of the police force necessarily. Like, you know, we understand that in movies, like, there is a swathe of history about corruption in the police and corruption in the society. Some of those things are true, you know, but this is also very heightened, a heightened reality of all those things, you know. Like, it's a movie.
Good.
That's what I think. I mean, you're actually playing the...
No. You. Next question.
Your character is on a mission because it's a father's love involved with everything else around you. Is this one of the reasons you wanted...
Kind of. I was intrigued by the idea, actually, that somebody could have an easier time robbing a bank than dealing with their son, you know. Like, that your skill set is, like, based around that thing, you know, as opposed to any kind of emotional content, you know, and dealing with the mother of your child or the child itself. And, you know, I thought it was a great jump-off point for a character. Like, who is a man who finds it easier to... Who is
this is my listening face. Yeah. Oprah said every man should have a listening face.
That's it. So anyway. I thought it was a good jump off point for the character.
What did you think about your character?
I agree. I thought that was a great jump off point for your character.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about yours.
Oh. What about him?
I'm not the journalist. Like, I don't... like,
what
I was just extending
like
the...
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, no. I love the fact that my character had this amazing emotional arc. He started one way, and by the end of the film... You know, all these characters, by the end of the film, they draw you in. They're so well-developed that you buy into the idea of who they are and why they're doing what they're doing. And it makes you question yourself ethically and morally, because if those were your circumstances, would you do the same thing and react the same way? So when I read it and I saw that, I was really turned on by the idea of making the audience question themselves.
You were sexually excited by this?
Boy, look. Had to loosen my belt.
And how would you react if these were your circumstances? Like, your character goes to really great lengths to be with his son. Like, how far would you go to compromise your own personal ethics to be with your family? Or to save them, or, you know.
Oh, wow, yeah. I mean, like a, yeah. I don't have any ethics in terms of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is one of the things that you kind of, that's the, one of the complications in the film. It's like... Yeah. You know, what do you do? Like, especially people, I think, and Michael, I think, was like this, you know, that maybe had a perception of what they are and then made one or two morally ambiguous choices along the way, maybe in Blackwater in Iraq. You know, you see those videos on YouTube of the Blackwater guys driving over Iraqi women, you know, and you're like, okay, you're in that Humvee, like, you don't say anything about it because it's the guys, you know, and how many steps away then are you from a totally compromised universe once you come back to the States or whatever, you know, and if somebody threatens you or you feel that your family's in any way compromised, like, what are you then prepared to do? Like,
right.
Almost anything. As I sit here, I would be prepared to do almost anything. I'm sure all of us would. And that kind of area of what ethics are, what morality is, morality contextualized, is obviously the basis of philosophy. You know? So, yeah, like that's part of what the story is talking about, like about the sort of the gray area.
Yeah.
Who are the bad guys? Who are the good guys? Like, given certain circumstances, what is one prepared to do? Like, almost anything.
Yeah, I think being a father, looking at my sons, there's nothing. If someone harms one hair on my son's head, there's nothing I wouldn't do to you and everyone who's related to you.
Well, I didn't even know you had a son, so I'm not.
No.
I was like,
I'm a little freaked out.
This is serious. just ask
him a question.
This is getting so serious.
Chill the fuck out, man.
Speaking from your character's perspective,
hey, oh my God.
I can say that I understand.
Is this the police?
Because
can we have you listening?
I'm in the Four Seasons. No, Anthony Mackie has taken a real hostage. I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
I'm just saying, speaking from that perspective, I understand it clearly.
You were acting or you were...
No, I'm dead. I love every inch of my son.
I know, but not the hair. Like,
I'm every hair, every follicle. If you come and pull a follicle, yep, that's it. We're going. Let's go. There's somebody going to jail.
So you actually believe in revenge?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
When it comes to my kids? Oh, yeah.
So you saw the revenant and you would just follow his footsteps.
When it comes to my kids? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anybody else? Fuck them.
Don't kill them.
In which way do you combine your work for theater and movies?
Yeah.
You have a real passion for theater.
I love theater. I think theater is the ultimate expressive medium. If you look at dance, if you look at opera, if you look at anything, sitting in a theater and watching someone perform, to me, is it's world-changing for me. What I love about theater the most is the instant gratification of it. I mean, we shot this movie 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you shoot a movie, John goes away and gets notes, edited with the editor, gives it to the producer in the studio, they give him notes, they recut it, you come in, do ADR to make moments work, and then you see your performance. Theater, you rehearse for 5 weeks, and there's an audience. And once those lights come on, nobody else matters. Mm-hmm. And every night, it's a new and interesting experience.
And the thing is, you never see your performance.
You never see it. You never. And every night, it's always something different.
You can shoot a video.
I don't think. Said nobody ever.
You're right.
Let me watch that back tonight.
No, I was high tonight.
Yeah.
No. It's. I've been to the Performing Arts Library and watched all those plays they have on video, and it never works. Seeing Brando in Streetcar on video is not the same thing. I think the great thing about theater is...
Did you see that?
Yeah, they have the video at the Performing Arts Library. Like James Earl Jones in Fences. There's nothing like the barrow of the man that he was in that play.
Can you imagine being there and seeing that
illusion
as it happened?
Illusion mom. You can't. Because it was very amazing on film. So being there in person, there's no way of of reliving that. And I love when I do theater and I come out and, like, my friends are there. And you go and have a beer and, you know, you instantly talk about what they saw and what they heard and what they thought of what you were doing. And, you know, I think, you know, the idea of being a film critic to me is somewhat odd because you basically don't critique the movie. You rehash what happened. So 999 is this, and this guy came here, and this guy did this. Go see it. Like, nah, that's not a critique. That's a play-by-play. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with theater, when you talk to someone who's not of the critiquing world, then they give you a true and actual depiction of what they experienced at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's
so what the fuck are we doing here?
Let's go do a play, dude. Let's go do a play. We're here to announce that we're doing a play in the West End.
Any new projects for you guys?
You got the Uber project.
What's happening with you, man?
I'm just hanging out.
I'm halfway through filming Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. So that's out at the end of the year. What do you know?
I'm hanging with my son. I took some time off work, and I'm taking my boys fishing.
Don't fuck around with this.
I didn't even have kids.
I took some time off work, and
it's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, I'm dropping my boys off to school. Forever. I'm picking my boys up.
You don't want to see that serious face anymore.
Thank you, everybody.
You and your whole family.